for the word this morning. Amen. All right. Well, let's pray, and we're going to ask God to, you know, one of the scriptures that was used by Fred from Isaiah, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Let's make that our prayer this morning. Father, as we come before you, we pray that we would have even the heart of Isaiah, that he said he looked for a man that would stand in the gap, a man that would go and deliver the word. And Lord, there's so many places in this world. We don't have to go on a foreign mission field. We can do it right where we live. And we pray right now for Pastor John, Lord, this word that he's going to bring forth today, that it would motivate us, that we would see ourselves wherever we go, Lord, as a representative, as an ambassador for your kingdom. Lord, we ask that you bless this word and sanctify it, and Lord, challenge us through it. In Jesus' name, and we all said,
amen. 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 Well, it was the, you know, the last meeting of our, we call it our summer of 2015 Christian Growth Seminar. And our theme this year, I know not everybody was there. You missed out, though. You should have been. I got to tell you, this was the best summer series we've ever had. It was tremendous. We had, it's going to only get better, right? But I'm just saying, up to this point, this was the best summer we've ever had, and I expect it to get better all the time. And it was everything. The teaching was superb. The attendance was good. The fellowship was great. The snacks even were great. Everything was good. And as Pastor Don mentioned, Fred and Eddie both spoke on missions or evangelism, and it was the perfect conclusion to our theme, which was building the church, because as you build the church, then you want to bring people in, right, to what you've been building. So I was thinking about their message and how good it was. I mean, it really was good. And I thought, you know, because God's called us to work with him, to co-labor with him, and to build his church. And so what he wants us to do is, like I said, if he's called us to do all this, there's a reason. He wants to build this church, not just to build it. He wants to build it because he wants it to be ready so that people can be brought in to the church. The church is his body. And it's important for him to build his body up. So that's exactly what we saw happening in the book of Acts. There we found the church was growing. It was thriving, and it was alive, and it was being strengthened, and people were being added to their numbers daily, and it was growing throughout the world. And what caused this growth? You know, we want to mimic that. We want that growth too. And so you start looking at the different things, and you say, why did it grow so much? Was it because of the persecution, and it sent everybody out? Well, the persecution did do that. I mean, it caused people to have to leave the comforts of their hometown, you know, which was Jerusalem there, and they had to spread out all over the place. But that isn't really what caused the church to grow. It helped. Was it their great speaking ability? No, not at all. I mean, some of them may have spoke okay, but most of them, as we saw, were just normal, unschooled, you know, guys that were just following after Christ. They weren't, you know, great debaters or great teachers. Was it the latest craze? Was it the thing to do? Was it the fad that everybody wanted to be a Christian? No, not at all. Was it the soundness of their argument that, you know, that brought people in? Well, I'm sure that helped because they did know certain truths that they were able to share, but that wasn't it either. Did the church grow because these men saw Jesus and they were able to share that? Well, I know that definitely helped because they knew Jesus and they knew that he was resurrected. I mean, they were enthusiastic and they were passionate about what they saw, and that always helps to get things moving. But is that really what caused the explosive growth of the church? No, it really wasn't. If you remember in Matthew 16, 18, it was Jesus himself who said, I will build my church. I will build my church. Jesus has a personal stake in building his church. Because, as I mentioned a minute ago, this church is his body here on this earth. We are his hands, we are his feet, we are his voice, we are his heart, to be able to share the love of the Father with other people. If you remember reading about Jesus, when he was here, walking on this earth, the scriptures tell us that he was filled with the Holy Spirit. It says in Luke 4:18 and 19, this was Jesus speaking, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And that's exactly what Jesus did. He went out and he preached and he shared all those things and he did release the oppressed. He did set them free. He was laying the foundation. Right then, at the beginning, there he was at the beginning when his church was first starting, and he was laying the foundation at that point for his church, and he was doing it through the power of the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Spirit. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." He was spreading the gospel. He was spreading what we call the good news, which means, the gospel means good news, the kingdom of God, because that's what he was supposed to do. That's what he was sent here to do. To start this whole process, he had to die, you know, to pay the penalty for our sins, and then something was going to be built here, and then people were going to be able to be drawn in so they could find out about what he did, and so they could receive the benefit from what he did. In Acts 1:18, Jesus enlisted us. He drafted us. He didn't ask us, "Would you like?" He just drafted us to become his helpers, to become his co-laborers. He said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses." He doesn't say, "Will you please tell them about me?" He just says, "You will receive power and you will be my witnesses. Here in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And in today's language, that means you're going to be my witnesses in Melvindale or in whatever hometown that you're from. Maybe, like I mentioned, Darren and Laura down at Wayne State. That's their area right now. Michigan, the United States, and to the farthest corners or reaches of this world. God has poured out, he has given us, or he's filled us with his Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that filled Jesus. The same one, the same power, the same ability. So that we can be, he's filled us with the Holy Spirit so that we can be his ministers, his missionaries, his evangelists, his ambassadors here on this earth. And you know what? We hear those words, missionary, ambassador, evangelist, and we think, "That's not me." That, those jobs, those abilities, they're not beyond the ability of any one of us. And I'm going to show you why today. Some people think that they could never do that, but then they find out they can. Right, Fred? Because it's God's Spirit in us. And the Holy Spirit inside of us, you know what his main objective is here on this earth? To bring glory to the Father. To point the way to Jesus, to the Father. to bring glory and honor and to empower us to do the same thing. He needs a vehicle. He's here to drive home the point of salvation, but he needs a vehicle to drive in. And we're the vehicle. Does my car have to have any special ability to get from here to my house? No. I have to get in and drive it. The Holy Spirit gets in us and drives us. We just have to be willing. The truth is you have been sent. You have been sent. You are on a mission from God. We all are. We are on a mission from God. We don't have to be one of the Blues Brothers. We got the Blues Sister. I got sort of a blue shirt on today. Some of the other guys do. But remember the Blues Brothers. They were on a mission from God. Remember that? Well, we are on a mission from God. We've been sent by God. All this year, we've been talking about getting to know God. And getting to know God, that's a great thing. And as we get to know Him, we begin to realize that God wants to use us. He wants us to get to know Him. Then He wants to send us out so that we can share with other people what we've learned, what we found out about Him. Who better to share God than somebody who's gotten to know Him? I don't want to hear about God from somebody who doesn't know Him. Do you? I want to hear about God from somebody who's connected with Him, who knows Him. And the more they know Him, the better they'll be able to share about Him. So that's why we need to get to know God. And then as we get to know Him, we're going to realize that God then sends us back out into the world to share with others about Him. In fact, God's Word has made it clear that He sent us just as He sent Jesus. You remember what we read just a minute ago? I read a scripture about Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit, and it said, that was Luke 4:18, it says, Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach good news to the poor." Then the next part says, "He has sent me." He has sent me. Jesus understood. When He spoke that, He understood that He had been sent to this earth to spread a message, the message of the gospel. And we have also been sent from the throne of God. As we get to know God, as we spend some time with Him, then He sends us back out. He's anointed us to do this. We may not think so, but this is what God does. And He knows what He's doing. Matthew 28:19, we're told there, "Go and make disciples of all nations." Mark 16:15, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Luke 9:60, "Go and proclaim the kingdom of God." John 20:21, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." I find it really interesting that in every one of the Gospels, we're being sent out. And they're not the same story, just told from four different, perspectives. These are all different times. These are all different ways. They're said differently, in different ways, that I'm sending you. Go out, make disciples, preach the word, preach the gospel. Share the good news of the kingdom of my Father. If we're a follower of Christ, and we all are, I hope. I hope everybody here is a follower of Christ. If we consider ourselves a Christian, then this message applies to us. We've been sent by God. We're all on this mission to spread the good news, to build the church, to seek first the kingdom, to help others to be able to experience the power and the love and the forgiveness of God. These are wonderful things, and we want to help others get hold of that. If being saved was the end of it, if that was the end all be all, if that's all God wanted from us was to save us, then, yeah, then save us and take us home. Let us be done. But unfortunately, or fortunately, however you look at it, it doesn't work quite that way. We get saved and we still have a life to live. We still have a job to do. There's still lots of people around that need to hear the message. How many times have we gone to a restaurant or a movie or some type of event, or we got some show we watch or whatever it is, and maybe we watched it or ate there or did that or did this because somebody told us about that thing. And so we thought, well, we'll try it. Well, we want to go see for ourselves, is it really that good? Well, I know myself that when I find something that I really enjoy, whether it's perch or whether it's camping or whether it's, you know, a certain show or a movie or a restaurant, or whether it's God, that I want to tell others about it. If I believe in something, I want to share that thing. I want others to be able to enjoy it too. That's just how I am. Well, we think those things are good things, those movies, those restaurants, those books, those computer programs, those whatever that we've shared with somebody. Well, those are all one thing, but now we're talking about something totally different. Now we're talking about the opportunity to experience an existence where there is no more pain, no more sorrow, only pleasure forevermore. Sounds pretty good, right? You like pleasure? Sure, of course we do. You like the idea of pleasure forever, never stopping? How about a brand new body that's a perfect 10? And you won't have to diet. How about all the love and all the joy and all the peace that you could possibly want beyond belief? And how about more than we could even ask for? How about pleasures and benefits that we couldn't even ask or imagine for us? How about eternal life? This, all this good stuff goes on forever and ever and ever, where we get to experience this for eternity with God Himself up in heaven. Now that to me is something that's good. It sounds good. That's what we call the good news. That's the best news. And I think that's better than a movie. It's better than a restaurant. It's better than a book. Then why wouldn't we want to share that with people? I think we should want to tell everyone that we possibly can. I know we often think that we're not worthy. You know, we think about maybe what we did yesterday, or what we thought, or what we did when we were a kid, or what we, you know, what we said, or how we look, or, you know, our lack of understanding or knowledge, or we just don't think we've got it. And you know what? We don't. We don't have it. We don't got it all. We don't know it all. But God does. God does. So we need to remember that this awesome power of God, His Holy Spirit, is power that He has put inside of us. He has entrusted this message to us, to you. All those things, all these wonderful, amazing things, the ability to share and spread this gospel, he's put that inside of you, and he's saying, I know you can't do it the way you would like to. I know you don't have all the answers. I know you don't look the part. I know your life was a mess. But I'm still giving you the ability to share my love. This power that's within us, the Holy Spirit, it's amazing. This power has, the Holy Spirit has the ability, he's a being, a person, an entity, he has the ability to reach right down into somebody's heart and to grab hold of their heart and heal it and change it and touch it. And he has the ability to release that heart from the grip of the kingdom of darkness. And typically, he does that through you, through me. Sometimes he just does it all on his own. He doesn't even need anybody else. We know the story of Paul. He got hit with the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes that happens. But more often than not, one of us are going to be the vehicle that drives up to that person so that the Holy Spirit's inside of us and we start speaking and the power of the Holy Spirit comes right out of us, reaches down in, grabs that heart and releases it from the clutches of the devil because we were obedient. It's not our wisdom. It's not our arguments. It's not our persuasive speeches that's going to win people over. It's the Holy Spirit. He's the one who convicts us of sin. He's the one who helps us to reveal God's love and forgiveness. Matthew 10:19 tells us that the Holy Spirit can work when we're in some situation where we don't even know what to say. The disciples were being, at that time, you know, they were constantly being brought before the high priest and getting arrested because they were talking about Jesus. They were sharing the gospel. They were sharing the truth. And next thing you know, they're arrested. And so, in Matthew 10:19, it says, when they arrest you, don't worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time, you will be given what to say. At that time, you will be given what to say. For it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you. God just needs a willing vessel. He can put the words in our mouth. I think it was Fred, wasn't it you that was sharing just the other night? I didn't even know I had it in me. I don't even know where these scriptures came from. Maybe I heard them somewhere. I didn't remember. But when I was sharing it with this guy, bam, it all came out. I couldn't believe it. God is sending us to be His mouth, to be His tongue, to be used by His Holy Spirit. And when we allow the Spirit of God to speak through us, to work through us, to love through us, it's as if God Himself were speaking. In 2 Corinthians 5:20, it says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. See, that's what's happening. God Himself is making His appeal to that heart through you. It's God doing it. We just have to be willing. I find it that it's so amazing that that God would trust us to use us, to send us on this important mission to give a message to somebody that could literally, you know, determine somebody's eternal destiny. He allows us to be a part of that. It's awesome. And when you are a part of it, it's wonderful. When you share the gospel and you see the Spirit of God working through you, and somebody gives their life to Christ, it's fun. It's exciting. It just does something to your heart. It just melts your heart. You sense the love of God coming through you. You feel it yourself. It's a powerful thing. That's our mission. That's what we've been called to do, to speak the truth as we know it. Speak what we have. Just go to do whatever we know, and then just trust God that whatever He wants to come out will come out. God has created each one of us uniquely. We each have different abilities. We each have different hair colors, different personalities. We all live in different places. We work in different places. We're different age. We're different sex. We're different nationality. It doesn't matter. We're all different people. Each one of us has a particular ability to speak to someone in our own unique way. And there are going to be endless opportunities that will open up for you. Opportunities that are designed by God specifically for you, with you in mind. Even with all of our weaknesses and all of our shortcomings, God doesn't care about them. He just wants us to be available to Him whenever He calls. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope you have." Always be prepared. God is going to send you to touch somebody in a way that only you can. There may be nobody on earth who could share in a way that will touch that person the same way you can. I'm not saying you're the only one that could bring them to Christ, but you may very well be the only person who could ever break through a particular hardness or melt that person's heart in that particular way because of who you are. That person that God would send you to needs you. In all your glorious weaknesses, God isn't worried about your ability because He can do all things through you. He's not worried about your schooling. He's not worried about your memory. I got a terrible memory. Ask my wife. I can never remember to do anything she asked me. I try my hardest. I do a lot, but sometimes it's so silly I'll forget. She'll say, "Will you do this for me?" And I'll say, "Sure." And I walk up right towards it and keep right on going. And then the next day I say, "Oh, I forgot to do that." And I really did. It's amazing, this mind of ours, how it can forget things. And, you know, the same kind of thing could happen in any situation. And yet, God's not worried about that. I just have to remember to be obedient, to remember to be willing. That I can remember. He needs willing workers. Jesus said to His disciples in Matthew 9:37, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. God's telling us there's a harvest out there. The fields are ripe. There are all kinds of people waiting to hear the good news. But there just aren't enough people who will step out and do the work to get the job done. In John 4:35, Jesus said, "Do not say 4 months more and then the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest." Basically, what he's saying is, what are we waiting for? We'll never have all the knowledge. We'll never, you know, be without sin. We're never going to be perfect. We're never going to be totally confident. It's never going to be the perfectly right time. It doesn't matter. Don't say 4 months into the future, next week, next year, tomorrow. Now. Now is the day of salvation. Now, look at the fields. The fields are ripe for the harvest. Our job, we don't make it happen. Our job is just to be available for when God wants to use us. See, there's some people have a problem. They feel like they have to do this all the time and hit everybody with the gospel. That's not the way God works. Because just as He works in us, He's working in other people. And there's a right time and a right place to share the gospel. I mean, it doesn't hurt to speak the gospel to somebody, but we have to realize that God is working in people's hearts all over the world. And He's telling us that the fields are ripe. So that means there are certain people that are ready. There are people that are ready. And if we're spending all of our time running after someone who's not even ready and trying to pound it down on them, just because what happens is we're not listening to God, we're just doing the work. See what I'm saying? So we got to make sure we don't get hung up on the work. What we need to do is be listening to the Spirit and being available to God to do His work. Not just works, but His work at His time. Here's another key. We don't trust ourselves. Think about that. We don't trust ourselves. We have to trust God. All the way back in 1989, that's when I was first told that there was a calling on my life and I was going to be the pastor here at this church. And I had a great job. I was a firefighter. I really liked that job. And the pastor that was here at that time, he felt he was going to be moving, and he wasn't ready to move yet, but he told me, you know, you're going to be the senior pastor here when I leave. And so my first response was, well, don't leave. I'm serious. Every time we talked about it, I said, don't leave. Because I was afraid. I didn't want to take on that responsibility. I'd never done that. I had a good job. And now this meant I knew what it was going to mean. Eventually, I knew it was going to mean leaving that job. I just knew it. And I had never been a pastor. And, you know, I didn't want to be responsible for trying to hold a church together and all these people's lives and doing all this stuff that, you know, I mean, I helped with, but it was a big responsibility. And I struggled with that for quite a while, like well over a year, until I had this on-the-road 12-hour conversation with God and finally came to the conclusion that God had called me to do this and I needed to obey. But one of the things that helped me to make that decision was I was talking to another pastor, a friend of mine, who in fact actually just happened to come here and speak on something, evangelism. His name was Howard Morgan. And we were talking about it, and I was explaining to him, you know, I says, you know, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I know I really feel like God's calling me, but I don't know that I can do this. I just don't know that I can trust myself that, you know, to be able to pull this together and to, you know, keep this church going and stuff like that. And he looked at me and he said, good, you don't have to. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, you don't have to trust yourself. You just have to trust God in you. And that really hit me. And so I can share that with you today Because I know you're not ready to save the world. I know you're not ready to do everything that God is calling you to do. And I know you're not the best missionary. You're not the best ambassador. You're not the best preacher. You're not the best, you know, most zealous evangelist. But you don't have to trust your ability. You don't have to trust that you can do this. You have to trust God in you. You have to trust God in you. Can God do it? Does God understand you? He created you. He created me. I think He knows how He can make us work. I think He knows how to go beyond our limitations, our imperfections, and work through us. I know He does. And so now we learn to trust God in us. Because if we are willing, God is able. That's what it comes down to. If we're willing, God is able. He is able to do more than we could ever ask or imagine. He can supply our every need. And we can do all things through Him. We know those scriptures. We've heard them. We've said them. And you know what? They're true. God is sending all of us. And the closer we get to Him, the more we know Him and know His heart, the more we're going to see how important it is for us to say, "Yes, Lord, send me." To receive the sending, to receive the instructions, to receive the commission, the great commission to go forth and to make disciples of all nations, to preach the gospel, to share the good news. That's God's heart. And this is God's heart too. In 1 Timothy 2, 3 and 4, it tells us that God our Savior wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Did you know that? That God wants all to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. That's His heart. Unfortunately, it's not going to happen. But that's the ideal. That would be the perfect outcome if that could ever happen. That's what God desires. 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord does not want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." God doesn't want anyone. He would never want that. He wouldn't wish that on somebody. He wants everyone. So if that's His heart, if He wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth and doesn't want anyone to perish, and we know that's His heart and we love Him, then we need to think that I need to help. I need to do my part so I can bless God. So I can help see His heart cry become a reality. That's why we're supposed to always be prepared to give an answer, like I read before in 1 Peter 3:15. We should all have a testimony to share. Something we can share with anybody on a moment's notice. And not be afraid and not say, "Oh, I can't do that, I can't do that." 2 Timothy 4:2 says, "Preach the word and be prepared in season and out of season." Whenever. We don't have to give a 40-minute message. We just have to share our life, our heart. God wants to be able to send us into any situation at a moment's notice. Because that's how they usually happen. We're just happening by, maybe riding in an elevator, maybe walking down the street, maybe visiting someone in a hospital, maybe at work, maybe standing in line, and all of a sudden, bam, there's the opportunity. "I got to go get my notes. I don't have my Bible with me. What am I going to do?" Don't worry about it. Just keep a little something stored up right here. Just a little something to share. And then be open. That'll get it started. That's like priming the pump. All we need is a little bit. And once the pump starts priming, do you ever have to suck gas out of a tube or something like that? Ugh. I've done it and I've tasted the gas. But once you get it going, it just goes. You just, you know. But then once you get it going, it just keeps going. It's not nearly as bad sharing the gospel. There's nothing that tastes bad about that. In fact, the word says taste and see that it's good, right? So totally different. I shouldn't have used gas. Maybe water. How about that? Did you ever have to suck water out of something and get empty? Did you ever? In fact, I've done that too. Empty a little pool or something like that. Put a hose in it. Once it starts, it just keeps going. You'll find more and more stuff just keeps coming out, and you're thinking, where did I get all this? Where did all this come from? It came from the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Sometimes we have time to prepare. Sometimes we don't. When we send our team down to Mexico, they spend all kinds of time preparing. You know, they're praying, they're practicing, they're working hard for, you know, for months they're doing all this stuff. But you know what? Then they get down to Mexico and they never know what's going to happen, and half the time all the planning and preparation is thrown out the window. And something else comes up. They still use all the stuff they learned, but they're always amazed at the stuff they're called to do that they never thought would happen. And God uses them. Because they're there ready to be used. And that's the way it works. If we're willing, God is able. Unplanned situations are going to arrive. And every time we get into one of those situations, what happens is it's an opportunity for God to be glorified. It doesn't matter where you go. Doesn't matter where you are. The Holy Spirit will be right there beside you, right there with you, in you. And He can turn that place, wherever you are, into your mission field. Wherever you are, that can become your mission field, right there at that moment. All we have to do is be available. Available to God. He's looking for a willing vessel. Are you ready to be? Are you really ready to be a willing vessel? Are you one of those like Elijah who said, "Send me, Lord. Send me." Remember, he was a man with unclean lips. I'm a man with... And then I love the way Fred shared that the other night. He gave a great message. You missed out if you weren't there. Wasn't that you that talked about that? Okay, and he said, you know, he was there with unclean lips, and then God took the coal and touched his lips. We know that. And then he shared how that coal represented the blood of Christ that washed us and cleansed us, and now our uncleanliness is gone. Now we are righteous because of the blood of Christ, right? So now we can share with somebody. So now we can say, "Send me, Lord. Send me. Send me, Lord." I'm going to end with one last scripture. When the risen Jesus came, and he showed himself to his disciples, and remember they were in the locked upper room, and all of a sudden Jesus appeared. He said to them, you know, "Be at peace." Of course, he always had to tell them that, just like the angels did, because every time Jesus or an angel appeared out of nowhere, they got scared. And so in John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22, he said, "As the Father has sent me," what did he say next? "I am sending you." "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, it says, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Once again, showing us that the Holy Spirit is the one who is going to be the driving force behind what we do. We just need to be willing. Showing us that this is where we're going to get the wisdom. This is where we're going to get the power, the ability to do this job from the Holy Spirit. We don't have to trust ourselves. We don't have to trust ourselves. I wouldn't trust this self to do anything. This self, remember, doesn't want God. This self wants its own way. But the Spirit within me? Yeah. Holy Spirit within me, combined with my spirit within me, yeah, now you got a power team. You got the power team ready to do God's will. So we have to trust God in us. If He gives us a job to do, He is going to give us whatever we need to get the job done. Amen? So if I could have the prayer team come forward. Maybe you feel like, you know what? I know I'm supposed to be used by God, but I just haven't done it. I've been afraid. I've been worried. I've been nervous. I didn't feel worthy. I didn't feel right. I didn't feel prepared. Maybe you need a touch from God. Maybe you just need hands laid on you. Just a simple touch from God. Let's go before the Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord. We thank You that You are such an awesome God. And that in all Your wisdom, in all Your majesty, in all Your glorious power, You have chosen to use us, to co-labor with us, to work through us. You have chosen to use us to help in the building of Your church, in the sharing of the gospel, in making disciples, in preaching the good news. So Lord, I pray right now that every one of us would have a fresh filling, a fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit. Lord, I pray that there would be an outpouring of evangelism upon every single one of our hearts. An outpouring of obedience to the nudging of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us. Help us to recognize and help us to obey as You lead us by Your Holy Spirit to share Your love, Your forgiveness, Your good news with those You send us to. Lord, we turn it over to You. We thank You right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Look for those opportunities.
Hear now this declaration from out across the nations. We need to wake up and understand. Many hurting hearts are crying, but our voices seem to be dying. Can you see the battle raging on? That You can move together, taking a stand, never losing heart, we'll speak as one. We need to be the image of Christ, show love and serve at all times. We can make a difference in this land.